Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams. In episode 4 of Scarlet's Walk, a hero met the three sisters deep below the streets of Camden, asked her three questions, and learned that nothing is ever as simple as it should be. Scarlet's Walk, episode 5. She was warm. If she kept her eyes closed, she could maybe just stay here, undisturbed and warm. She smiled. Splendid, she's wake. Here, Alex, our little witch has woken up. She groaned and opened her eyes, seeing little except the pasty face peering down at her. He looked how he sounded, small and bitter, and not unlike a rat. She was lying on a table, like a dining table, with her feet hanging off the end, and she rolled onto her side. She misjudged the size of the table and rolled right off, landing hard on the floor and shouting an alarm. As the pain sank into her left arm, she held it with her right hand, rubbing it furiously, and despite her best efforts, a few tears ran down her cheeks. She scrubbed them away, looking up at her captor. She was kidnapped, properly held against her will by mysterious men kidnapped. She almost laughed, it was so ludicrous. Then Alex leant over her and the humour died in her throat, crawling down into her stomach to curl up into a hot little ball and hide. Where the other man was skinny, Alex was wide and his face looked like someone had smacked him with a saucepan many, many times. His nose was flattened across his face, and his smile was leery and contained more than a hint of menace. She shuffled back, head bumping against the top of the table. She thought about scrambling under it when he grabbed her, his hand tight around her arm. "Ow, let go, that hurts," he sneered. "Please believe me, little girl, that doesn't hurt. You'll know when it hurts." She was sweating and glanced around. They were in a kitchen, though she wasn't convinced it had been used for doing any cooking in. Dirty plates were piled high in the sink, plastic cartons spilling out of the bin and onto the floor. It smelled in here of old food and rot, and she wrinkled up her nose. Alex pulled her forward and she stumbled, losing her footing. She wasn't light. God knows she wasn't light. But the man barely seemed to notice, dragging her across the floor and throwing her into a chair. She rubbed her arm where he'd grabbed her and bit her lip. She tried to picture Martin, but could only see him in his tramp outfit, grubby and a little creepy. "I've been through hell. I've actually been through hell. This shouldn't be scary." It was, though. Was Mum panicking yet? She probably wouldn't call the police. They might come round and discover the dodgy lead from next door satellite dish. But she'd be worried, calling everyone they knew and asking about her. She might never see her again, never get the chance to cuss her horrible latest haircut or take the piss when she tried to use some cool expression. The thought was far worse than she'd expected. Alex bent down, his face stopping inches from hers. "Where is he?" "Huh? Where is he? You know him. You know where he is. So where is he?" "I don't know. I don't know what you mean. Who do you mean?" He hit her, his hand catching her cheekbone and slamming her head around. Her neck cracked and she swore as lights flashed before her eyes and she swooned. She had imagined swooning, but it had always been following a meeting with some gorgeous person. This wasn't like that. He was backing close. "I have neither the time nor the patience, I really don't. My friend here, he'd be happy to play with you. Maybe I'll let him just for a while. Or you can answer my questions." "Why do you want him?" "He stole something. My employers want what he stole." "Do your employers own them?" Alex raised an eyebrow. She went on, wincing at the pain opening her mouth caused her. "So your employers are paying you to steal something from someone who already stole it?" Alex raised his hand and she cringed. I don't know where he is, really, I don't. How did you find me? She'd try anything now, anything to make him put his hand back down. He sat back on his heels, hands folded in front of him. You left some pretty serious residue back at Martin's place when you jumped out. Clever hiding spell you used, though. Didn't see you at all. But we came back, had another look round, and saw what you'd left behind. You might like to work on your subtlety. She sniffed, affronted and embarrassed at the same time. It hadn't even occurred to her she might be leaving a trail. Probably looked like she saw people, green tracks to say where she'd been. So who are your employers? Alex snarled and put his foot between her legs on the chair, shoving it until she tipped over backward. She held her head up, but the impact still drove it into the kitchen floor. She howled as her teeth slammed together. Ratman bent over her this time, broad smile showing dark, dirty teeth. We're gonna play for a bit. He says we can play. Would you like to play with me? She bit her lip, feeling the blood well up and into her mouth. She wouldn't cry. She wouldn't. He grabbed her hand and yanked her to her feet. The council have got him. They have. The sisters told me. The knife paused above her cheek, close enough so she could see her eyes, reflected and distorted in the blade. She swallowed, dropping her head as he let go of her chin. She had broken. All he'd done was wave the knife at her, and she'd given in, just like that. She had betrayed him. Her palms were wet, and she was breathing hard, and the knife was still in front of her, and she didn't care that she had broken. He was going to cut her. Actually cut her. She started to shake, little tremors that became whole body shaking. She was heaving and gasping and shaking her head, and Ratman stepped back, a look of disappointment on his face. Alex, he's with the council, bastards. The other man wandered into the dining room, idly tapping on a phone. He looked at her and raised an eyebrow. What did you do? Ratman grinned. Wave my knife at her. Seems the agents aren't as tough as they once were. Through the haze, what he said sunk in and she shook her head. What do you mean, agents? Alex crouched beside the chair until his eyes were level with hers. He smiled, teeth showing. You're good. He glanced up at Ratman. Are you sure she was telling the truth? The other man nodded vehemently. Oh yeah, no doubt. They got that look in their eyes, you know, desperation. He said it like Scarlet would have said chocolate or Depp, and she squirmed. Alex turned back to her. Who do you work for? She shook her head. I don't. I'm just looking for Martin. How convenient. Why are you looking for him? She dropped her eyes, mumbling. He's supposed to be teaching me magic. His hand grabbed her chin more roughly than Ratman and pulled her face up. I'm sorry, you might have to repeat that. I'm Martin's, you know, student, apprentice, whatever. Alex stared at her for a few seconds, and she tried to relax her eyes to see what he was thinking. Right, that was going to work. He stuck out a hand, and when it came back into sight, it held the knife. His grip on her chin grew stronger, and he laid the flat edge of the knife on her cheek, pointing to her eye. I can blind you faster than you can think. One simple movement. So tell me again, who are you? My name is Joanna Slater. Better this time, quicker. I'm a schoolgirl, that's all. Martin is teaching me magic, and I haven't had my last two lessons, so I came looking for him. Then you came in, so I hid. Then I went searching and went in the underworld. And then I met the sisters, and then you found me, and that's it. That's everything. I swear it. She sucked in a breath and peered down at the blurred tip of the knife, then back to Alex. He was shaking, and the knife dropped away as he stood. The shaking became laughter, huge belly laughs that had her smiling, then not, then smiling again and wondering why. What the hell? Alex turned, handing the knife back to Ratman. When he turned back, she jumped and grabbed the edge of the seat. His face was blurry, shifting like the dodgy plasticine effects in Evil Dead. When the blurring stopped, he was changed. Still the same face, but the width was gone and the menace. And he looked actually quite nice. Ratman had done the same. And though he was still a little rodenty, his face was fuller and kinder. Alex was still chuckling when he pulled her from the seat. "Please, come into the kitchen. Would you like something to drink or eat?" She nodded and he rooted through the fridge, pulling out bread and cheese as Ratman flicked on the kettle. When he shoved a mug of tea in front of her, she sipped greedily, ignoring the burning lips. Alex sat opposite, resting his arms where her head had been only a few minutes ago. "I did think your disguise was particularly good," he chuckled again, shaking his head. "Now I know why. I'm sorry, Joanna, our mistake." She hadn't had a chance to figure out what was going on, but as the tea boiled its way into her stomach, she raised a hand. "So, what the hell's going on?" "We made a mistake. We are working for Martin. Our job is to find him if something like this happens. We thought you were from the underworld." He turned and spat onto the floor when he said it. "Apologies, old habit." "Huh?" She had preferred lying on the table. Things were simpler then. "Sorry, so you work for Martin?" Alex nodded. "We're called Watchers. People hire us when they think something might be going a bit wrong. You must have noticed by now. Things in our world are a little different to things out there. People disappear more often than you'd think. Martin thought he was going to vanish and wanted us to find him if he did. Turns out it was a good call." She nodded. It made sense, sort of. Right now, anyone who gave her tea and bread was a good person. She'd think a little more when she had time. She took another glug of tea and placed it back on the table. Moments later, accompanied by a squeak from her, Ratman took it, emptied it down the sink and returned for the plate. She grabbed at it, but he took it anyway. "Sorry, love, no time. We gotta go." "What? Go where?" Alex looked at her, brow creased. "To find Martin, of course. When I say people vanish, what I meant was they vanish and turn up in the foundations of the next Tesco Express. Only they don't actually turn up, of course." She went cold and scrambled up. She pulled her t-shirt away from her stomach, aware of the cold, clammy damp. Her jeans were chafing, scratching at her legs. "Are there any clothes here? Whatever here is." Ratman nodded upwards. "Go have a look. Think a teenager lived here before." Wondering what before meant and not daring to ask, she climbed the stairs and found the bedroom filled with Green Day posters. Whoever had lived here had at least had some taste. She opened the wardrobe, found something far too small but at least vaguely cool, and stripped off, pulling on the strange jeans. This was creepy. Not as creepy as the sisters, but still creepy. Who had lived here and where had they gone? She hauled the jeans closed, sucking in her gut until the button fastened, and threw on a baggy t-shirt and jumper. She found a jacket hanging behind the door and took that too. Ratman was waiting at the bottom of the stairs. He looked so different now, but as he looked up and watched her coming down, the twinkle in his eyes was just the same as when he'd been holding the knife. What was she doing here? It didn't matter, they'd find Martin and everything would be all right, assuming he wasn't already... She swallowed, pushed past Ratman and back into the kitchen. Alex was holding the door open and they stepped out into the night. Scarlet clad in a strange girl's clothes, with two men she knew nothing about, in search of the council. If she wasn't so terrified, it might actually be quite cool. This was a full blog post.
Thanks for
maybe
listening.
A couple even.
If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cansrights.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cansrights.com.